Good morning. It's the 31st of December. We finished yesterday by thinking of the Lord Jesus, and our final words were, "There was prepared for him a tree, not for his pride or self-esteem, but for the deliverance of his people." This was his final year. His lifetime seemed to have withered. His days were shortened, and some thought that he was another of the sons of men to be borne away on the stream of time, another who had miscalculated and failed. But it was not so. He who ripens the year's harvest, giving bread to the eater and seed to the sower, took that final year of our Lord and crowned it with his goodness. Those few withered years are past, and have been replaced by the years of God's right hand. He is now the sun for evermore. His days are without end. The face of the man of sorrows is changed, and the God of all grace and comfort hath made everything beautiful in his time. There is another thought here. Agriculturally, the year ends when all the fruits of the season have been gathered in. This was the time of Israel's third great feast, the Feast of Ingathering. In the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labours out of the field. This was a feast of thanksgiving and rejoicing. The purpose and promise of the year were fulfilled. The families of Israel tabernacled around the holy city and celebrated the unfailing goodness of God. Hearts and voices swelled with praise, and the priesthood relayed their joy to heaven. No one was empty-handed. How could he be, when God had given him good measure, pressed down and running over? God, the great sower, is waiting for that day. The promise of the harvest is in Jesus made glorious. It will yield more sheaves in the great day of his coming, and the harvest carts will be fully laden when the kingdom is delivered up to the Father. Such are some of the lessons of the year. Shall we then bring our year to the feet of our Lord? In him alone will all our mingled feelings find rest, companions lost or found, days when the year has smiled upon us and frowned upon us, our strivings and failings. All will find meaning in him if we so desire it. The sun is the clock. It marks our hours, our days and years. It is the centre around which our earth makes a majestic and faithful yearly journey. But the sun, S-O-N, is our clock. By him we measure our days and years. We count time from his coming and to his second coming. He is the great today, if we will hear his voice. He is the ever-living invitation to look beyond each passing day to a risen and perfect Christ who shares the Father's endless days. With them that word is true which says, "The years shall not fail. Thy years are throughout all generations." If this sun is the centre of our yearly circuit, and if we seek not to grieve him in our flight, then the days of the years of our pilgrimage will be eternally remembered. Before there was ever a sun, there was God. God measures not time by the sun. The sun is measured by him. He is the centre of all creation, outside all created time and timepieces, and that is beyond our understanding. But there is a life to come, and those who are counted worthy to attain unto it will have no need of solar or of lunar years, for having stood in their lot at the end of the days, they will be made like unto the Son of God after the power of an endless life. May that day come soon. Thank you for listening.